He was put off or irritated, changing the subject in the sweetest way possible. "Yeah," she said. "Eleanor."
Not Nora or Ella or Lena. You could be Lena or Lenny or Elle.
"Are you trying to give me a nickname?"
"No, I love your name. I don't want to cheat myself out of a single syllable."
"You're such a dork." She wiped her eyes.
"Eleanor," he said, "why can't we see each other?"
"God," she said, "don't. I'd almost stopped crying."
"Tell me. Talk to me."
"Because," she said, "because my stepdad would kill me."
"Why does he care?"
"He doesn't care. He just wants to kill me."
"Why?"
"Stop asking that," she said angrily. There was no stopping the tears now. "You always ask that. Why? Like there's an answer for everything. Not everybody has your life, you know, or your family. In your life, things happen for reasons. People make sense. But that's not my life. Nobody in my life makes sense."
"Not even me?" he asked.
"Ha! Especially not you."
"Why would you say that?"
He sounded hurt. What did he have to be hurt about? Why? She said.
"Yeah," he said. "Why? Why are you always so mad at me?"
"I'm never mad at you." It came out a sob. He was so stupid.
"You are," he said. "You're mad at me right now.
You always turn on me, just when we start to get somewhere."
"Get where?" "Somewhere," he said. "With each other. Like a few minutes ago, you said you missed me. And for maybe the first time ever, you didn't sound sarcastic or defensive or like you think I'm an idiot. And now you're yelling at me."
"I'm not yelling."
"You're mad," he said. "Why are you mad?"
She didn't want him to hear her cry. She held her breath. That made it worse.
"Eleanor," he said.
Even worse.
"Stop saying that." "What can I say then? You can ask me why, you know. I promise I'll have answers."
He sounded frustrated with her, but not angry. She could only remember him sounding angry with her once, the first day she got on the bus.
"You can ask me why," he said again.
"Yeah," she sniffed.
"Yeah."
"Okay." She looked down at the turntable, at her own reflection in the tinted acrylic lid. She looked like a fat-faced ghost. She closed her eyes. "Why do you even like me?"
Park. He opened his eyes. He sat up, stood up, started pacing around his small room. He went to stand by the window, the one that faced her house, even though it was a block away and she wasn't home, holding the base of the car phone against his stomach. She'd asked him to explain something he couldn't even explain to himself. "I don't like you," he said. "I need you." He waited for her to cut him down, to say, "Ha," or "God," or "You sound like a bread song." But she was quiet. He crawled back onto the bed, not caring whether she heard it swish. "You can ask me why I need you," he whispered. He didn't even have to whisper. On the phone, in the dark, he just had to move his lips and breathe. "But I don't know. I just know that I do. I miss you, Eleanor. I want to be with you all the time. You're the smartest girl I've ever met, and the funniest, and everything you do surprises me. And I wish I could say that those are the reasons I like you, because that would make me sound like a really evolved human being.
but I think it's got as much to do with your hair being red and your hands being soft and the fact that you smell like homemade birthday cake. He waited for her to say something. She didn't. Someone knocked softly on his door. "Just a second," he whispered into the phone.
"Yeah,"
he said. His mom opened his door just enough to push her head through.
"Not too late,"
she said. "Not too late," he said. She smiled and shut the door. "I'm back," he said. "Are you there?"
"I'm here,"
Eleanor said. "Say something."
"I don't know what to say."
"Say something so that I don't feel so stupid."
"Don't feel stupid, Park,"
she said. "Nice." They were both quiet.
"Ask me why I like you,"
she finally said. He felt himself smile. He felt like something warm had spilled in his heart. "Eleanor," he said, just because he liked saying it.
"Why do you like me?" "I don't like you."
He waited. And waited. Then he started to laugh. "You're kind of mean," he said. "Don't laugh. It just encourages me." He could hear that she was smiling, too. He could picture her, smiling.
"I don't like you, Park,"
she said again.
"I..."
She stopped.
"I can't do this."
"Why not?"
"It's embarrassing."
"So far, just for me."
"I'm afraid I'll say too much," she said.
"You can't."
"I'm afraid I'll tell you the truth."
"Eleanor."
"Park."
"You don't like me?" he said, leading her, pressing the base of the phone into his lowest rib.
"I don't like you, Park,"
she said, sounding for a second like she actually meant it.
"I..."
Her voice nearly disappeared.
"Think I live for you."
He closed his eyes and pressed his head back into his pillow.
"I don't think I even breathe when we're not together," she whispered. "Which means, when I see you on Monday morning, it's been like 60 hours since I've taken a breath. It's probably why I'm so crabby and why I snap at you. All I do when we're apart is think about you, and all I do when we're together is panic, because every second feels so important. And because I'm so out of control, I can't help myself. I'm not even mine anymore. I'm yours. And what if you decide that you don't want me? How could you want me like I want you?"
He was quiet. He wanted everything she'd just said to be the last thing he heard. He wanted to fall asleep with, "I want you," in his ears.
"God," she said, "I told you I shouldn't talk. I didn't even answer your question."
Eleanor. She hadn't even said anything nice about him. She hadn't told him that he was prettier than any girl, and that his skin was like sunshine with a suntan. And that's exactly why she hadn't said it, because all her feelings for him, hot and beautiful in her heart, turned to gobbledygook in her mouth. She flipped the tape and pressed play and waited for Robert Smith to start singing before she climbed up onto her dad's brown leather couch. "Why can't I see you?" Park asked. His voice sounded raw and pure, like something just hatched. "Because my stepfather is crazy." "Does he have to know?" "My mom will tell him." "Does she have to know?" Eleanor ran her fingers along the edge of the glass coffee table. "What do you mean?"
"I don't know what I mean. I just know that I need to see you. Like this."
"I'm not even allowed to talk to boys."
"Until when?"
"I don't know, never? This is one of those things that doesn't make sense. My mom doesn't want to do anything that could possibly irritate my stepfather, and my stepfather gets off on being mean, especially to me. He hates me. Why? Because I hate him. Why? She wanted badly to change the subject, but she didn't. Because he's a bad person. Just trust me. He's the kind of bad that tries to kill anything good. If he knew about you, he'd do whatever he could to take you away from me. He can't take me away from you, Park said. Sure he can, she thought. He can take me away from you, she said. The last time he got really mad at me, he kicked me out and didn't let me come home for a year. Jesus. Yeah. I'm sorry. Don't be sorry, she said. Just don't tempt him. We could meet at the playground. My siblings would turn me in. We could meet somewhere else. Where? Here, he said. You could come here. What would your parents say? It's nice to meet you, Eleanor. Would you like to stay for dinner? She laughed. She wanted to say it wouldn't work, but maybe it would. Maybe. Are you sure you want them to meet me? She asked. Yes, he said. I want everyone to meet you. You're my favorite person of all time. He kept making her feel like it was safe to smile. I don't want to embarrass you, she said. You couldn't. Headlights shot across the living room. Damn, she said. I think my dad's home. She got up and looked out the window. Her dad and Donna were getting out of the Carmen Ghia. Donna's hair was a mess. Damn, 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 she said. I never said why I like you, and now I have to go. That's okay, he said. It's because you're kind, she said, and because you get all my jokes. Okay, he laughed. And you're smarter than I am. I am not. And you look like a protagonist. She was talking as fast as she could think. You look like the person who wins in the end. You're so pretty and so good. You have magic eyes, she whispered. And you make me feel like a cannibal. You're crazy. I have to go. She leaned over so the receiver was close to the base. Eleanor, wait, Park said. She could hear her dad in the kitchen, and her heartbeat everywhere. Eleanor, wait. I love you. Eleanor? Her dad was standing in the doorway. He was being quiet, in case she was asleep. She hung up the phone and pretended that she was. Chapter 20. Eleanor. The next day was a blur. Her dad complained that she'd eaten all the yogurt. I didn't eat it. I gave it to Matt. Her dad only had $7 in his wallet, so that's what he gave her. When he was ready to take her home, she said she had to go to the bathroom. She went up to the hall closet, found 3 brand new toothbrushes, and shoved them into the front of her pants, along with a bar of Dove soap. Donna might have seen her. She was right there in the bedroom, but she didn't say anything. Eleanor felt sorry for Donna. Her dad never laughed at anyone's jokes but his own. When her dad dropped Eleanor off at her house, all the little kids ran out to see him. He gave them rides around the neighborhood in his new car. Eleanor wished she had a phone to call the cops. There's a guy driving around the flats with a bunch of kids hanging out of a convertible. I'm pretty sure none of them have seatbelts on and that he's been drinking scotch all morning. Oh, and while you're here, there's another guy in the backyard smoking hash. In a school zone. When their dad finally left, Mouse couldn't stop talking about him. After a few hours, Richie told everybody to put their coats on. We're going to a movie. All of us, he said, looking right at Eleanor. Eleanor and the little kids climbed into the back of the truck and huddled against the cab, making faces at the baby, who got to sit inside. Richie drove down Park Street on the way out of the neighborhood, but Park wasn't outside, thank God. Of course, Tina and her Neanderthal boyfriend were out. Eleanor didn't even try to duck. What was the point? Steve whistled at her. It was snowing on the way home from the movie. Short circuit. Richie drove slow, which meant that even more snow fell on them, but at least nobody flew out of the truck. Huh, Eleanor thought. I'm not fantasizing about being thrown from a moving vehicle. Weird. When they drove by Park's house again in the dark, she wondered which window was his.
Park. He regretted saying it. Not because it wasn't true. He loved her. Of course he did. There was nothing else to explain everything Park felt. But he hadn't meant to tell her like that, so soon, and over the phone, especially knowing how she felt about Romeo and Juliet. Park was waiting for his little brother to change clothes. Every Sunday, they got dressed up in nice pants and sweaters and had dinner with their grandparents. But Josh was playing Super Mario and wouldn't turn it off. He was about to get to the Infinity Turtle for the first time. I'm going over, Park yelled to his parents. I'll see you there. He ran across the yard because he didn't feel like putting on a coat. His grandparents' house smelled like chicken fried chicken. His grandma had only 4 Sunday dinners in her repertoire. Chicken fried chicken, chicken fried steak, pot roast, and corned beef. But they were all good. His grandpa was watching TV in the living room. Park stopped to give him half a hug, then went into the kitchen and hugged his grandma. She was so small, even Park towered over her. All the women in his family were tiny, and all the men were huge. Only Park's DNA had missed the memo. Maybe the Korean gene scrambled everything. That didn't explain Josh's hugeness, though. Josh looked like the Korean genes had skipped him altogether. His eyes were brown and just barely almondy, almond-flavored. And his hair was dark, but not even close to black. Josh looked like a big German or Polish kid whose eyes kind of crinkled when he smiled. Their grandmother looked nothing but Irish. Or maybe Park only thought that because everyone in his dad's family made such a big deal about being Irish. Park got a Kiss Me, I'm Irish t-shirt every year for Christmas. He set his grandparents' table without being asked, because it had always been his job. When his mom got there, he hung out in the kitchen with her and his grandma and listened to them gossip about the neighbors.
I heard from Jamie that Park's going steady with one of those kids who live over with Richie Trout, his grandma said.
It shouldn't surprise Park that his dad had already told his grandma. His dad could never keep a secret.
Everybody talking about Park's girlfriend, his mom said, except for Park. I heard she's a redhead, his grandma said.
Park pretended to read the newspaper. You shouldn't listen to gossip, Grandma.
Well, I wouldn't have to, his grandma said, if you just introduce us to her.
He rolled his eyes, which made him think of Eleanor, which almost made him feel like telling them about her just so he'd have a reason to say her name.
Well, my heart goes out to any child living in that house, his grandma said. That Trout boy has never been any good. He smashed out our mailbox while your dad was in the service. I know it was him because he was the only one in the neighborhood with an El Camino. He grew up in that little house, you know, until his parents moved someplace even more redneck than here. Wyoming, I think it was. They probably moved to get away from him.
Tish, his mom said. Grandma was a little sharp for his mom's taste sometimes.
We thought he'd moved out west, too, she said. But now he's back with an older wife who looks like a movie star and a whole house full of red-headed stepchildren. Gil told your grandpa that they've got a big old dog living there, too. I never.
Park felt like he should defend Eleanor, but he wasn't sure how.
It doesn't surprise me that you have a thing for redheads, his grandma said. Your grandfather was in love with the redhead. Lucky for me, she wouldn't have anything to do with him.
What would Park's grandmother say if he did introduce her to Eleanor? What would she say to the neighbors? And what would his mother say? He watched his mom mash potatoes with a masher as big as her arm. She was wearing stone-washed jeans and a pink V-neck sweater with fringed leather boots. There was a gold angel charm hanging around her neck and gold crosses hanging from her ears. She'd be the most popular girl on the bus. He couldn't imagine her living anywhere but here.
Eleanor. She'd never lied to her mother, not about anything important, anyway. But on Sunday night, while Richie was at the bar, Eleanor told her mom that she might go over to a friend's house after school the next day. "Who's that?" her mom asked. "Tina," Eleanor said. It was the first name she thought of. "She lives in the neighborhood." Her mom was distracted. Richie was late and his steak was drying out in the oven. If she took it out, he'd be pissed that it was cold. But if she left it in, he'd be pissed that it was tough. "Okay," she said. "I'm glad you're finally making friends." Chapter 21. Eleanor. Would he look different now that she knew that he loved her? Or that he had loved her at least for a minute or two on Friday night, at least enough to say so. Would he look different? Would he look away? He did look different. More beautiful than ever. When she got on the bus, Park was sitting tall in the seat so she could see him, or maybe so that he could see her. And when he let her into the seat, he sat back down again against her. They both slouched down low. "That was the longest weekend of my life," he said. She laughed and leaned into him. "Are you over me?" he asked. She wished she could say things like that, that she could ask him questions like that, even in a joking way. "Yeah," she said. "Over and over and over."
"Yeah?"
"Yeah, no." She reached into his jacket and slipped the Beatles tape into his t-shirt pocket. He caught her hand and held it to his heart. "What's this?" He pulled the tape out with his other hand. "The greatest songs ever written. You're welcome." He rubbed her hand against his chest, just barely, just enough to make her blush. "Thank you," he said. She waited until they were at her locker to tell him the other thing. She didn't want anyone to hear. He was standing next to her and purposely bumping his backpack into her shoulder. "I told my mom that I might go over to a friend's house after school."
"You did?"
"Yeah. It doesn't have to be today, though. I don't think she'll change her mind."
"No, today. Come over today."
"Don't you have to ask your mom?" He shook his head.
"She doesn't care. I can even have girls in my room if I keep the door open."
"Girls? You've had enough girls in your room to require a ruling?"
"Oh, yeah," he said. "You know me."
"I don't," she thought to herself. "Not really."
Park. For the first time in weeks, Park didn't have that anxious feeling in his stomach on the way home from school, like he had to soak up enough of Eleanor to keep him until the next day. He had a different anxious feeling. Now that he was actually introducing Eleanor to his mom, he couldn't help but see Eleanor the way his mom was going to. His mom was a beautician who sold Avon. She never left the house without touching up her mascara. When Patti Smith was on Saturday Night Live, his mom had gotten upset. "Why she want to look like man? It's so sad." Eleanor, today, was wearing her sharkskin suit jacket and an old plaid cowboy shirt. She had more in common with his grandpa than with his mom. And it wasn't just the clothes. It was her. Eleanor wasn't nice. She was good. She was honorable. She was honest. She would definitely help an old lady across the street. But nobody, not even the old lady, would ever say, "Have you met that Eleanor Douglas? What a nice girl." Park's mom liked nice. She loved nice. She liked smiling and small talk and eye contact, all things Eleanor sucked at. Also, his mom didn't get sarcasm, and he was pretty sure it wasn't a language thing. She just didn't get it. She called David Letterman the ugly mean one on after Johnny. Park realized that his hands were sweating and let go of Eleanor's. He put his hand on her knee instead, and that felt so good, so new. He stopped thinking about his mom for a few minutes. When they got to his stop, He stood in the aisle and waited for her, but she shook her head.
"I'll meet you there," she said.
He felt relieved, and then guilty. As soon as the bus pulled away, he ran to his house. His brother wouldn't be home yet, that was good.
"Mom! In here!"
she called from the kitchen. She was painting her nails a pearly pink.
"Mom," he said,
"hey, Eleanor's coming over in a few minutes. My Eleanor. Now. Is that okay?"
"Right now?"
She shook the bottle. Click, click, click.
"Yeah, don't make a big deal, okay? Just be cool."
"Okay," she said.
"I'm cool."
He nodded, then looked around the kitchen and the living room to make sure there was nothing weird setting out. He checked his room, too. His mom had made his bed. He opened the door before Eleanor knocked.
"Hi,"
she said. She looked nervous. Well, she looked angry, but he was pretty sure that was because she was nervous.
"Hey,"
he said. This morning, all he'd been able to think about was how to get more servings of Eleanor into his day. But now that she was here, he wished he would have thought this through.
"Come on in," he said.
"And smile," he whispered at the second-to-last second.
"Okay?"
"What?"
"Smile."
"Why?"
"Never mind."
His mom was standing in the doorway to the kitchen. "Mom, this is Eleanor," he said. His mom smiled broadly. Eleanor smiled too, but it was all messed up. She looked like she was squinting into a bright light or getting ready to tell someone bad news. He thought he saw his mom's pupils widen, but he was probably imagining it. Eleanor went to shake his mom's hand, but she waved them in the air like, "Sorry, my nails are wet," a gesture that Eleanor didn't seem to recognize.
"It's nice to meet you, Eleanor."
"Eleanor?"
"It's nice to meet you," Eleanor said, still squinty and weird.
"You live close enough to walk?"
his mom asked. Eleanor nodded.
"That's nice,"
his mom said. Eleanor nodded.
"You kids want some pop? Some snacks?"
"No," Park said, cutting her off. "I mean..."
Eleanor shook her head. "We're just going to watch some TV," he said. "Okay?"
"Sure,"
his mom said.
"You know where to find me."
She went back in the kitchen, and Park walked over to the couch. He wished he lived in a split level, or a house with a finished basement. Whenever he went over to Cal's house in West Omaha, Cal's mom sent them downstairs and left them alone. Park sat on the couch. Eleanor sat at the other end. She was staring at the floor and chewing on the skin around her fingernails. He turned on MTV and took a deep breath. After a few minutes, he scooted toward the middle of the couch.
"Hey," he said.
Eleanor stared at the coffee table. There was a big bunch of red glass grapes on the table. His mom loved grapes.
"Hey,"
he said again. He scooted closer.
"Why did you tell me to smile?"
she whispered.
"I don't know," he said. "Because I was nervous."
"Why are you nervous? This is your house."
"I know, but I've never brought anyone like you home before."
She looked at the television. There was a Wang Chung video on. Eleanor stood up suddenly.
"I'll see you tomorrow."
"No," he said. He stood up too.
"What? Why?"
"Just, I'll see you tomorrow," she said.
"No,"
he said. He took her arms by the elbow.
"You just got here. What is it?"
She looked up at him painfully.
"Anyone like me?"
"That's not what I meant," he said. "I meant anyone I care about." She took a breath and shook her head. There were tears on her cheeks.
"It doesn't matter. I shouldn't be here. I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going home."
"No," he pulled her closer.
"Calm down, okay? What if your mom sees me crying?"
"That wouldn't be great, but I don't want you to leave." He was afraid that if she left now, she'd never come back.
"Come on, sit next to me."
Park sat down and pulled Eleanor down next to him, so he was sitting between her and the kitchen.
"I hate meeting new people," she whispered.
"Why?"
"Because they never like me."
"I liked you."
No, you didn't. I had to wear you down.
I like you now.
He put his arm around her.
Don't. What if your mom comes in?
She won't care.
I care,
Eleanor said, pushing him away.
It's too much. You're making me nervous.
Okay,
he said, giving her space.
Just don't leave.
She nodded and looked at the TV. After a while, maybe 20 minutes, she stood up again.
Stay a little longer, he said. Don't you want to meet my dad?
I super don't want to meet your dad.
Will you come back tomorrow? I don't know.
I wish I could walk you home.
You can walk me to the door.
He did.
Will you tell your mom I said goodbye? I don't want her to think I'm rude.
Yeah.
Eleanor stepped out onto his porch. Hey, he said. It came out hard and frustrated.
I told you to smile because you're pretty when you smile.
She walked to the bottom of the steps, then looked back at him.
It'd be better if you thought I was pretty when I don't.
That's not what I meant, he said, but she was walking away. When Park went inside, his mother came out to smile at him.
Your Eleanor seems nice,
she said. He nodded and went to his room. No, he thought, falling into his bed. No, she doesn't.
Eleanor. He was probably going to break up with her tomorrow. Whatever. At least she wouldn't have to meet his dad. God, what must his dad be like? He looked just like Tom Selleck. Eleanor had seen a family portrait sitting on their TV cabinet. Park, in grade school, by the way, extremely cute. Like Webster cute. The whole family was cute, even his white brother. His mom looked exactly like a doll. In The Wizard of Oz, the book, not the movie, Dorothy goes to this place called the Dainty China Country, and all the people are tiny and perfect. When Eleanor was little and her mom read her the story, Eleanor had thought the Dainty China people were Chinese, but they were actually ceramic, or they'd turn ceramic if you tried to sneak one back to Kansas. Eleanor imagined Park's dad, Tom Selleck, tucking his dainty China person into his flak jacket and sneaking her out of Korea. Park's mom made Eleanor feel like a giant. Eleanor couldn't be that much taller than her, maybe 3 or 4 inches, but Eleanor was so much bigger. If you were an alien who came to Earth to study its life forms, you wouldn't even think the two of them were the same species. When Eleanor was around girls like that, like Park's mom, like Tina, like most of the girls in the neighborhood, she wondered where they put their organs. Like, how could you have a stomach and intestines and kidneys and still wear such tiny jeans? Eleanor knew that she was fat, but she didn't feel that fat. She could feel her bones and muscles just underneath all the chub, and they were big too. Park's mom could wear Eleanor's rib cage like a roomy vest. Park was probably going to break up with her tomorrow, and not even because she was huge. He was going to break up with her because she was a huge mess, because she couldn't even be around regular people without freaking out. It was just too much. Meeting his pretty, perfect mom, seeing his normal, perfect house. Eleanor hadn't known there were houses like that in this crappy neighborhood. Houses with wall-to-wall carpeting and little baskets of potpourri everywhere. She didn't know there were families like that. The only upside to living in this effed-up neighborhood was that everybody else was effed up too. The other kids might hate Eleanor for being big and weird, but they weren't going to hate on her for having a broken family and a broke-down house. That was kind of the rule around here. Park's family didn't fit. They were the Cleavers. And he'd told her that his grandparents lived in the house next door, which had flower boxes, for Christ's sake. His family was practically the Waltons. Eleanor's family had been messed up even before Richie came around and sent everything straight to hell. She would never belong in Park's living room. She never felt like she belonged anywhere. Except for when she was lying on her bed, pretending to be somewhere else. Chapter 22. Eleanor. When Eleanor got to their seat the next morning, Park didn't stand up to let her in. He just scooted over. It didn't seem like he wanted to look at her. He handed her some comic books, then turned away. Steve was being really loud. Maybe he was always this loud. When Park was holding her hand, Eleanor couldn't even hear herself think. Everyone in the back of the bus was singing the Nebraska fight song. There was some big game coming up this weekend against Oklahoma or Oregon or something. Mr. Stessman was giving them extra credit all week for wearing red. You wouldn't think Mr. Stessman would be prone to all this Husker crap, but it seemed like nobody was immune. Except Park. Park was wearing a U2 shirt today with the picture of a little boy on the chest. Eleanor had been up all night thinking about how he was probably done with her, and now she just wanted to put herself out of her misery. She pulled at the edge of his sleeve. "Yeah," Park said softly. "Are you over me?" she asked. It didn't come out like a joke, because it wasn't. He shook his head but looked out the window. "Are you mad at me?" she asked. His fingers were locked loosely together in his lap, like he was thinking about praying. "Sort of." "I'm sorry," she said. "You don't even know why I'm mad," he said. "I'm still sorry." He looked at her then and smiled a little.
"Do you want to know?" he asked.
"No."
"Why not?"
"Because it's probably for something I can't help."
"Like what?"
he asked. "Like for being weird," she said. "Or for hyperventilating in your living room."
"I feel like that was partly my fault."
"I'm sorry," she said.
"Eleanor, stop. Listen. I'm mad because I feel like you decided to leave my house as soon as you walked in. Maybe even before that."
"I felt like I shouldn't be there," she said.
She didn't say it loud enough to be heard over the creeps in the back. Seriously, their singing was even worse than their shouting.
"I didn't feel like you wanted me there," she said, a little louder. The way Park looked at her then, biting his bottom lip, she knew she was at least a little bit right. She'd wanted to be all wrong. She'd wanted him to tell her that he did want her at his house, that he wanted her to come back and try again. Park said something, but she couldn't hear him, because now the kids in the back were chanting. Steve was standing at the back of the aisle, waving his gorilla arms like a conductor. "Go, Big Red! Go, Big Red! Go, Big Red!" She looked around. Everyone was saying it. "Go, Big Red! Go, Big Red!" Eleanor's fingertips went cold. She looked around again and realized that they were all looking at her. "Go, Big Red!" Realized that they meant it for her. "Go, Big Red!" She looked at Park. He knew it too. He was staring straight ahead. His fists were clenched tight at his sides. He looked like someone she'd never met. "It's okay," she said. He closed his eyes and shook his head. The bus was parking in front of their school, and Eleanor couldn't wait to get off. She forced herself to stay in her seat until it stopped and to calmly walk forward. The chanting broke up into laughter. Park was right behind her, but he stopped as soon as he was off the bus. He threw his backpack on the ground and took off his coat. Eleanor stopped too. "Hey," she said. "Wait, no. What are you doing?"
"I'm ending this."
"No, come on, it's not worth it."
"You are," he said fiercely, looking at her. "You're worth it."
"This isn't for me," she said. She wanted to pull at him, but she didn't feel like he was hers to hold back. "I don't want this."
"I'm tired of them embarrassing you."
Steve was getting off the bus, and Park clenched his fists again. "Embarrassing me?" she said. "Or embarrassing you?" He looked back at her, stricken, and she knew again that she was right. "Damn it! Why did he keep letting her be right about all the crappy stuff? If this is for me, she said as fiercely as she could, then listen to me. I don't want this. He looked in her eyes. His eyes were so green they looked yellow. He was breathing heavy, and his face was dark red under the gold. Is it for me? She asked. He nodded. He dug into her with his eyes. He looked like he was begging for something. It's okay, she said. Please, let's go to class. He closed his eyes and eventually nodded. She bent over to get his coat and heard Steve say, "That's right, Red, show it off." And then Park was gone. When she turned to look, he was already shoving Steve back toward the bus. They looked like David and Goliath, if David had gotten close enough to let Goliath kick his ass. Kids were yelling, "Fight!" and running from every direction. Eleanor ran too. She heard Park say, "I'm so sick of your mouth." And she heard Steve say, "Are you serious with this?" He pushed Park hard, but Park didn't fall. Park took a few steps back, then cranked his shoulder forward, spinning into the air and kicking Steve right in the mouth. The whole crowd gasped. Tina screamed. Steve sprang forward almost as soon as Park landed, swinging his giant fists and clubbing Park in the head. Eleanor thought that she might be watching him die. She ran to get between them, but Tina was already there. Then one of the bus drivers was there, and an assistant principal, all pushing them apart. Park was panting and hanging his head. Steve was holding his own mouth. There was a waterfall of blood on his chin. "Jesus Christ, Park, what the fuck? I think you knocked out my tooth." Park lifted his head. His whole face was covered with blood. He staggered forward, and the assistant principal caught him. "Leave my girlfriend alone." "I didn't know she was really your girlfriend," Steve shouted. A bunch more blood spilled out of his mouth. "Jesus, Steve, it shouldn't matter." "It matters," Steve spat. "You're my friend. I didn't know she was your girlfriend." Park put his hands on his knees and shook his head, splattering the sidewalk. "Well, she is." "All right," Steve said. "Jesus." There were enough adults now to herd the boys to the building. Eleanor carried Park's coat and his backpack to her locker. She didn't know what to do with them. She didn't know what to do with herself, either. She didn't know how to feel. Was she supposed to be happy that Park had called her his girlfriend? It's not like he'd given her any choice in the matter, and it's not like he'd said it happily. He said it with his head down, with his face dripping blood. Should she be worried about him? Could he still have brain damage even though he'd been talking? Could he still stroke out or fall into a coma? Whenever anyone in her family was fighting, her mother would start yelling, "Not in the head! Not in the head!" Also, was it wrong to be so worried about Park's face? Steve had the kind of face that could take or leave teeth. A few gaps in Steve's smile would just add to the big, creepy goon look he was rocking. But Park's face was like art. And not weird, ugly art, either. Park had the sort of face you painted because you didn't want history to forget it. Was Eleanor supposed to be mad at him still? Was she supposed to be indignant? Was she supposed to shout at him when she saw him in English class, "Was that for me or for you?" She hung his trench coat in her locker and leaned in to take a deep breath. It smelled like Irish spring and a little bit like potpourri, and like something she couldn't describe any way other than boy. Park wasn't in English or history. And he wasn't on the bus after school. Neither was Steve. Tina walked by Eleanor's seat with her head in the air. Eleanor looked away. Everybody else on the bus was talking about the fight. Fucking Kung Fu. Fucking David Carradine. And fuck David Carradine. Fucking Chuck Norris. Eleanor got off at Park's stop.
Park. He was suspended for 2 days. Steve was suspended for 2 weeks because this was his third fight of the year. Park felt kind of bad about that, because Park was the one who'd started the fight. But then he thought about all the other ridiculous crap Steve did every day and never got busted for. Park's mom was so mad, she wouldn't come get him. She called his dad at work. When his dad showed up, the principal thought he was Steve's dad. "Actually," his dad said, pointing at Park, "that one's mine." The school nurse said Park didn't have to go to the hospital, but he looked pretty bad. He had a black eye and probably a broken nose. Steve did have to go to the hospital. His tooth was loose, and the nurse was pretty sure he'd broken his finger. Park waited in the office with ice on his face while his dad talked to the principal. The secretary brought him a Sprite from the teacher's lounge. His dad didn't say anything until they were driving. "Taekwondo is the art of self-defense," he said sternly. Park didn't answer. His whole face was throbbing. The nurse wasn't allowed to give out Tylenol. "Did you really kick him in the face?" his dad asked. Park nodded. "That had to be a jump kick."
"Jump reverse hook," Park groaned.
"No way." Park tried to give his dad a dirty look, but any look at all felt like getting hit in the face with rocks. "He's lucky you wear those little tennis shoes," his dad said. "Even in the middle of winter. Seriously, a jump reverse hook?" Park nodded. "Huh. Well, your mom is going to hit the goddamn roof when she sees you. She was at your grandma's house, crying when she called me." His dad was right. When Park walked in, his mom was practically incoherent. She took him by the shoulders and looked up at his face, shaking her head.
"Fighting,"
she said, stabbing her index finger into his chest.
"Fighting like white trash dumb monkey."
He'd seen her this mad at Josh before. He'd seen her throw a basket of silk flowers at Josh's head, but never at him.
"Waste," she said. "Waste, fighting. Can't trust you with own face."
His dad tried to put his hand on her shoulder, but she shook him off.
"Get the boy a steak, Harold," his grandma said, sitting Park at the kitchen table and inspecting his face.
"I'm not wasting a steak on that," his grandpa said.
His dad went to the cupboard to get Park some Tylenol and a glass of water.
"Can you breathe?" his grandma asked.
"Through my mouth," Park said.
"Your dad broke his nose so many times, he can only breathe through one nostril. That's why he snores like a freight train."
"No more Taekwondo," his mom said. "No more fighting."
"Mindy," his dad said, "it was one fight. He was sticking up for some girl the kids pick on."
"She's not some girl," Park growled. His voice made every bone in his head vibrate with pain. "She's my girlfriend." He hoped so, anyway.
"Is it the redhead?" his grandma asked.
"Eleanor," he said. "Her name is Eleanor."
"No girlfriend, no,"
his mom said, folding her arms.
"Grounded."
Eleanor. When Eleanor rang the doorbell, Magnum P.I. answered. "Hi," she said, trying to smile. "I go to school with Park. I have his books and stuff." Park's dad looked her up and down, but not like he was checking her out, thank God. More like he was sizing her up, which was also uncomfortable. "Are you Helen?" he asked. "Eleanor," she said. "Eleanor, right. Just a second." Before she could tell him that she just wanted to drop off Park's stuff, he walked away. He left the door open, and Eleanor could hear him talking to someone, probably in the kitchen, probably Park's mom. "Come on, Mindy." And, "Just for a few minutes." And then, right before he came back to the door, "With a nickname like Big Red, I expected her to be a lot bigger." "I was just dropping this off," Eleanor said when he pushed the screen open. "Thanks," he said. "Come on in." Eleanor held up Park's backpack. Seriously, kid, he said. Come on in and give it to him yourself. I'm sure he wants to see you. Don't be, she thought. But she followed him through the living room, down the short hall to Park's room. His dad knocked softly and peeked in the door. Hey, Sugar Ray, someone's here to see you. You want to powder your nose first? He opened the door for Eleanor, then walked away. Park's room was small, but it was packed with stuff. Stacks of books and tapes and comic books, model airplanes, model cars, board games. A rotating solar system hung over his bed, like one of those things you put over a crib. Park was on his bed, trying to prop himself up on his elbows when she walked in. She gasped when she saw his face. It looked so much worse than it had earlier. One of his eyes was swollen shut, and his nose was thick and purple. It made her want to cry and to kiss him, because apparently everything made her want to kiss him. Park could tell her that he had lice and leprosy and parasitic worms living in his mouth, and she would still put on fresh chapstick. God. Are you okay? She asked. Park nodded and sat up against his headboard. She set down his bag and his coat and walked over to the bed. He made room for her, so she sat down. Whoa, she said, falling backwards, tipping Park on his side. He groaned and grabbed her arm. Sorry, she said. Oh, my God, sorry, are you okay? I wasn't expecting a waterbed. Just saying that word made her giggle. Park laughed a little, too. It sounded like snorting. My mom bought it, he said. She thinks they're good for your back. He was keeping both his eyes mostly shut, even the good one, and he didn't open his mouth when he talked. Does it hurt to talk? She asked. He nodded. He hadn't let go of her arm, even though she'd recovered her balance. If anything, he was holding it tighter. She reached up with her other hand and lightly touched his hair, brushed it out of his face. It felt smooth and sharp at the same time, like she could feel each strand under her fingertips. I'm sorry, he said. She didn't ask why. There were tears pooling in the slit of his left eye and slipping down his right cheek. She started to wipe them away, but she didn't want to touch him. It's okay, she said. She let her hand settle in her lap. She wondered if he was still trying to break up with her. If he was, she wouldn't hold it against him. Did I ruin everything? He asked. Every what? She whispered, as if listening might hurt him too. Every us. She shook her head, even though he probably couldn't see her. Not possible, she said. He ran his hand down her arm and squeezed her hand. She could see the muscles flex in his forearm and just under the sleeve of his T-shirt. I think you might have ruined your face, she said. He groaned. Which is okay, she said, because you were way too cute for me anyway. You think I'm cute? He said thickly, pulling on her hand. She was glad he couldn't see her face. I think you're beautiful, breathtaking, like the person in a Greek myth who makes one of the gods stop caring about being a god. Somehow the bruises and swelling made Park even more beautiful. His face looked ready to break out of its chrysalis. They're still going to make fun of me, she blurted. This fight doesn't change that. You can't start kicking people every time someone thinks I'm weird or ugly. Promise me you won't try. Promise me that you'll try not to care. He pulled on her hand again and shook his head gingerly. Because it doesn't matter to me, Park. If you like me, she said, I swear to God, nothing else matters. He leaned back into his headboard and pulled her hand to his chest. Eleanor, how many times do I have to tell you, he said through his teeth, that I don't like you? Park was grounded, and he wouldn't be back at school until Friday. But nobody bothered Eleanor the next day on the bus. Nothing bothered her all day long. After gym class, she found more pervy stuff written on her chemistry book. "Pop that cherry," written in globby purple ink. Instead of scribbling it out, Eleanor tore off the cover and threw it away. She might be broke and pathetic, but she could still scrounge up another brown paper bag. When Eleanor got home after school, her mom followed her into the kids' room. There were two new pairs of Goodwill jeans folded on the top bunk. "I found some money when I was doing laundry," her mom said, which meant that Richie had accidentally left money in his pants. If he came home drunk, he'd never ask about it. He'd just assume he spent it at the bar. Whenever her mom found money, she tried to spend it on things Richie would never notice. Clothes for Eleanor, new underwear for Ben, cans of tuna fish and bags of flour, things that could be hidden in drawers and cupboards. Her mom had become some sort of genius double agent since she hooked up with Richie. It was like she was keeping them all alive behind his back. Eleanor tried the jeans on before anybody else got home. They were a little big, but much nicer than anything else she had. All her other pants had something wrong with them, a broken zipper or a tear in the crotch, some flaw she had to hide by constantly pulling down her shirt. It would be nice to have jeans that didn't do anything worse than sag. Maisie's present was a bag of half-dressed Barbies. When Maisie got home, she laid all the dolls out on the bottom bunk, trying to put together one or two complete outfits for them. Eleanor climbed onto the bed with her and helped comb and braid their frayed hair. "I wish there'd been a Ken in there," Maisie said. On Friday morning, when Eleanor got to her bus stop, Park was already waiting there for her.
Chapter 23 Park. His eye went from purple to blue to green to yellow. "How long am I grounded?" he asked his mother.
"Long enough to make you sorry you fight," she said.
"I am sorry," he said. But he wasn't really. The fight had changed something on the bus. Park felt less anxious now, more relaxed. Maybe it was because he'd stood up to Steve. Maybe it was because he had nothing left to hide. Plus, nobody on the bus had ever seen anybody kick like that in real life.
"It was pretty fantastic," Eleanor said on the way to school a few days after he came back. "Where did you learn to do that?"
"My dad's been making me go to Taekwondo since kindergarten. It was actually kind of a stupid show-offy kick. If Steve had been thinking, he could have grabbed my leg or pushed me."
"If Steve had been thinking," she said.
"I thought you'd think it was lame," he said.
"I did."
"Lame and fantastic?"
"Those are both your middle names."
"I want to try again."
"Try what again? Your Karate Kid thing? I think that would be less fantastic. You've got to know when to walk away."
"No, I want you to come over again. Would you?"
"It doesn't matter," she said. "You're grounded."
"Yeah."
Eleanor. Everybody at school knew that Eleanor was the reason Park Sheridan kicked Steve Murphy in the mouth. There was a new kind of whispering when she walked down the halls. Somebody in geography asked her if it was true that they were fighting over her. "No," Eleanor said, "for Christ's sake." Later, she wished that she would have said yes. Because if that had gotten back to Tina, oh my God, it would have made her furious. On the day of the fight, Denise and Bibi wanted Eleanor to tell them every gory detail, especially the gory details. Denise even bought Eleanor an ice cream cone to celebrate. "Anyone who whoops Steve Murphy's sorry ass deserves a medal," Denise said. "I didn't go near Steve's ass," Eleanor said. "But you were the cause of the ass whooping," Denise said. "I heard your boy kicked him so hard, Steve cried blood." "That's not true," Eleanor said. "Girl, you need to learn a lesson about standing in your own light," Denise said. If my Jonesy kicked Steve's ass, I'd be walking around this place singing that song from Rocky. Na-na-na, na-na-na. That made BB giggle. Everything Denise said made BB giggle.